As we were preparing for this Sunday, and as Shig and I were having a conversation, what came to me was a well-worn saying that many of us probably know and have heard by George Santayana, and that is, those who do not remember their past are doomed to repeat it. The idea that we need to make sure that we remember the stories of our history, or else we'll continue to repeat the same mistakes that we have made throughout our life's journey. And so remembering the past is such a very important part of living in the present and looking to the future. But there's a corollary that would go with that. It's not really a saying, but it's a way of thinking about things, and that is that those who are stuck in the past are doomed to remain there. And so it's an important and interesting corollary, those two things as they come together. As we listen to the archive committee talk, it reminds us about how important it is for us to know that history, to live into that history. That history breathes in this room. And so when we are here, there may be lots of ways that we don't know these stories directly, and yet that story lives amongst us in this sanctuary. It breathes from the walls here in this sanctuary. And so when we come into this place, there is a way in which we live in community that has been guided by that story and all of the ways that that story has made itself known in community. And so we celebrate that and we give thanks for that. But we'd be less than honest if we did not say it's so easy for us to get stuck in the past, to look to the past and think that that is going to be the journey and the road that will lead us into the future. One of the things that we know is that while the past is such a very important part of leading us to today, that in many ways what organizational entrepreneurs and innovators know is that if we're looking to the future, sometimes what's before us, it's very much uncharted, and that the past really cannot lead us into that future. That the past in so many ways may almost bind us to the point where we cannot embrace the future that is before us. That we have to find a way to both honor the past but not get stuck in it. Find ways to remind ourselves of those stories, but also find ways as well to recognize that it's going to take new gifts, new perspective, new ways of being in ministry, new ways of engaging in community in such a way that we know that what is coming in the future is different than what we've had in the past. All we need to do is look around this sanctuary and recognize in the great diversity that is in this room that while we articulate a Japanese-American history, that we know that the branches that are bearing fruit in this ministry, they come from many different stories, many different cultures, backgrounds that come with different languages and articulate different histories. And we bring those histories into the present right now, graft those branches onto that tree, and know that the fruit that is being born from them, it is so rich and so sweet. And it's coming in a way that articulates how stories come together in the great diversity of this church. Many churches like ours who have Japanese-American history, they envision a Japanese-American future. And the reality is that we know that that is not going to get us to a fruitful future before us. That we have to know that while embracing that history is a very important part of who we are, that rootage will never change. That the branches, as they continue to give off different fruit and come from different stories, it enables us to extend the legacy and the lineage of this church. And so we wrestle with that and we think about that. We recognize that both of those sayings are true. The history of this church, it's such a very important part of who we are, and so grateful and thankful for our archive committee who brings out and unearths these stories and these pictures for us to look at and to embrace and really to breathe in and know that those stories are a part of who we are. And so we celebrate and give thanks for that. But we know as well that those stories, they're not intended to lock us into the past. And in fact, what they seek to do is to help us to give birth to a future that's going to be very different, that's going to come from different people. It's going to articulate a different kind of story. It's going to speak about this church in a way that brings forth new gifts and new talents and new stories and experiences, and that all of those are going to help this church move into the future. When we think about that, we recognize that there are things about church that are timeless, and there are things that are time-bound. One of the things that we know is that ministry looks really different for us now in the era that we are living in, as we live into social media and understand how fast things move in our daily life, that we realize that doing ministry as we did a generation ago, or even as we do it today, that's not going to lead us into the future. It can give birth to a new way of understanding and doing ministry, but it isn't going to be the way it's been done in the past. And so we embrace that, and we honor that, and we know that that's a part of the creativity that comes from our story, is the ability for us to extend that story in ways that are disjointed and disconnected from that past, but continue to articulate a future that is a part of who we seek to be as a community. So there are things that are truly time-bound. We know that there are ways that we live into that that kind of time frame here in this sanctuary, and in many ways see that as a true blessing. As we look around this room and realize that we are an intergenerational community, that we give thanks for those folks who raised their hand and said that they were a part of the church on Washington Street. And we give thanks for the ways that they continue to honor and live into that story and are a part of who we are in this present day. But as we look around the room, we realize that church, our church itself, it's changing. And for that, we lift up our gratitude and thanksgiving. Now, for people like me, sometimes as we look at those changes that are in the future, they make us uncomfortable. It makes us feel a sense of dis-ease, and it challenges us to think about how we would live into that future. But we have confidence that comes from the fact that our church has gone through changes like this in its history, and that we continue to articulate how those changes play themselves in the future. One of the great changes that happened in the Japanese-American church in the 1950s and 60s was when the church went from being a primarily Japanese-language church with an English-language congregation and flipped over so that the English-language church became the primary language and the secondary language became Japanese. That was a huge leap of faith for our ancestors, but it reminded us that sometimes that which is going to lead us into the future is going to look very different than how it looked in the past. And so we know that there are things that are time-bound, but there are two things that are timeless that are important for us to hold on to as we think about who we are as a church, the values and goals and ideals, ways of that the church came about. We recognize that that spirit continues to live in us, and those things are timeless. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the letter to the Hebrews. And in this letter, the writer lifts up stories of faith as a way to articulate the idea that there are timeless truths that come from the historical lineage that is a part of who they are in those days. And so the writer takes the 11th and 12th chapters to articulate who those saints of the faith are and what lessons they learned from them. And I invite you, I just pulled selected verses, but I invite you to look through that and to see that and allow that to resonate for you as you think about who we are as a church. And so I'm going to read this really quick. This is from selected verses from Hebrews 11 and 12. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in a land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So the writer articulates first the Abraham as the one whose story informs how we got to where we are today. And then he continues on with Abraham. By faith, he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one, as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And then he goes on to talk about Moses. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered through as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. The writer is continuing to tell and articulate these faith stories, knowing that those faith stories inform who they are in that moment and who they would become. Yet all these, the scripture says, though they were commended for their faith, they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, without us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. It describes this great cloud of witnesses and says that they, who they are at that moment, they are surrounded by a great witness, cloud of witnesses, stories of faith that enable them to be who they are in that moment. And he wants them to know that the fulfillment that those great ancestors of the faith are seeking is going to be made known through them, that they are a part of the fulfillment that they were promised in the biblical story. And as we think about that, we realize that within those stories, there are timeless truths that stay with us about sacrificial love, about commitment, about taking leaps of faith and risks, about knowing what it is to persevere through hardships and struggle and suffering, what it is to walk out, even though we do not know what that future looks like, to continue to walk forward in faith. As the writer of Hebrews is articulating that here in this place, in the scripture reading, to those people, what's being articulated to us is the very same thing by the stories that we hear from the ancestors of this church and of our faith. And so as we hear those stories, we realize that it is those timeless values of commitment and sacrifice and hard work and the ability to persevere through those difficulties that will continue to be a part of what this church becomes throughout its generations, because each generation would live into those very same promises because of those values and the commitments that they are willing to make. Shig talked about building a church at Wapato and then building a church in Ontario, and then helping to build this church. Now, I want you to know that that word build is not a metaphor for something. It's not, well, he helped to build this church. Shig is talking about hammer and nails. His father building with his hands and with the people of the Wapato Church, building that church. And then when they moved to Ontario, Oregon, and established a church there, building that building as well in the very same way. So when Shig talks about building the church, we know in him a story of faith and commitment that says, I'm willing to put my labor and my energy into the hard work of this church to establish its ministry so that it will have a home where we can allow our spirits to breathe in what God is seeking to do in our community. I heard a story as I was preparing for Sam Mitsui's funeral service. As we were talking with Tommy was telling me a story about their home in Renton. And we were sitting right in the middle of their home, and she was describing the home and the fact that Sam had helped to build the home. And then she said these words. She said, but you know, when Sam was getting ready to build this house, the church was in the process of building its home in Beacon Hill. And she said, and Sam decided to wait until after the church was built before building his own home. What a testimony of faith that is. A story that breathes into the walls right here where we are. It's a part of this sanctuary and who we are as a community. And it is in that commitment, that ability to sacrifice and to put his labor and hard work into this building that helps it to breathe for us today just who we are. There's a document that you'll get to see in the archives that is a document that was the building of the sanctuary. And there are pictures of people who are up on the rafters painting and who are sanding. And these people are doing this after the workday, in the evening, coming to this church to build this sanctuary. They did it in many ways with the help of our architect who helped to draw up those plans, but much of what is around us in this room right now was built by the hands of the persons who called this their church home. It's an important story for us to remember because it reminds us that those timeless values continue to play themselves out with us today. If there is going to be any future in this church, it's going to be when those timeless values are continued to be articulated both today and into the future. And so we hear those stories and it reminds us of who we are. We know that the history will not bind us to the past, but will be the foundation upon which we build a bright and hopeful future. And to know that that future, it may look different than what we are living today. But if we trust and have faith and believe, we can know that as we extend that legacy out into the great unknown, that what will happen will be that the legacy of Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church, it will continue in those stories as we look to the future in hope. This last Monday, I went to the Memorial Day service, the Nisei Vets Memorial Day service. And every year they have a service where they dedicate a monument there for those Nisei soldiers who came back from, who died in military service in World War II, and then having added a few names to it. And so they gather around that and memorialize all those persons who died in military service. And so I go as a person who wants to be with our Blaine folks. We have many Blaine folks who go there. I go as your pastor to be there and present. And I have to acknowledge that I've been asked to speak at this. I've been asked to participate. But I also go just to witness it. And so I was there, and they had a speaker who started talking. They brought up a speaker, and it was a military person. And they've done that in the past. They would bring soldiers from different military battles who come up. And I have to acknowledge that sometimes they come up and they give a speech, but the speech itself is not really connected to anything in the room at all. That in lots of ways it's a story about military sacrifice and about service, but it doesn't really connect itself very well to the stories of the Nisei veterans. Now, this man who came up this last Monday, his name was Joshua Moran, Commander Sergeant Major Joshua Moran. And as he began to talk, he started to tell his story, and he said that he was from Hawaii, and that he served in the 100th Battalion, 442nd Infantry. Now, me, I'm not a military person, so I have to acknowledge in my own life that I thought, well, that was in World War II. That was a story from my family's church, my culture's history and story. But that 442nd and 100th Battalion, it has continued on through the generations, and it comes to today. And he started telling these stories, and what he said was, you know, I didn't know the story of the 100th Battalion and the 442nd. And then as I was walking around, people kept saying to me, go for broke, go for broke, go for broke, which was the saying of the 442nd 100th Battalion. And he said at the time, it didn't really mean much to him. And then he started to understand what that meant about going all in, about making sacrifices for one's country, about defending their honor and their dignity. And then he started telling us that now as he trains new recruits, they train them and tell them the story. So while they're training them for 5 straight days, they tell them the story of the 100th Battalion and the 442nd Infantry. And he said he teaches them what the words go for broke actually mean and where they come from. And he said, as we do this, we see in them this transformation, because they realize that they are not just there serving in that particular moment. They are a part of a lineage and a legacy that goes back to World War II and the stories of Japanese Americans at a time of war hysteria and great racism. And the thing that's interesting about it is that the people who are in the 100th Battalion, they sometimes don't have any connection at all to the historical experiences of Japanese Americans. But when they tell them this story, the story impacts them in such a powerful way that they begin to carry on this legacy in a way that enables them to know how that story was birthed and what that story means to them both in the present and in the future. That's what it means to know that history and how important it is. Now, the reality is that war doesn't look anything like it looked in 1942. The kind of mechanisms they use, the way they strategize, how they think about war, it's completely different than it was in 1942. And yet there are timeless truths that are being passed on as that story is being told, that the people who helped to establish this battalion were people whose parents were incarcerated in World War II. They are the most decorated unit in military history because they were trying to prove their loyalty and their honor to this country that told them that they didn't belong. Every time they tell them that story and every time they use the words, go for broke, It impacts them, and it touches them because they remember that story. And then at the end of his speech, he said, I want to tell those persons who are sitting in the front row, and there were just a few of them now who are left, who were part of the 100th Battalion, 442nd, the Military Intelligence Service. And he said, I want to tell you in the front row that I honor you and that I give my life in service for you and your story. When I heard that, I was just so moved by that because I could see in him this great honor in being able to carry that story that had started at World War II and carry that story on into the future. My prayer is that as I get ready to leave you all, that you all would continue to see your history in just that way. Don't get stuck in the past and think that the past is going to help us to go to the future, but find a way to know that the story that is a part of who you are, it helps to be the foundation and give birth to new ministries in this church and in this community. And as you do that, you will know that the ministry that you will carry on, it may not look like what it looks like today and in the past, but it will carry on the marks of the story that makes this church what it is. And as it carries those marks into the future, what you can know is that you will continue to do good work in the name of Jesus Christ and the name of Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church. And as you do that, know that you are every single day surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And know that that is the greatest gift that we can live into, that we might honor that story and know that we seek to extend that story into what is an unknown and unexpected future. But as we do, know that we carry the story that makes us who we are into that future. And as we do, we will perpetuate the legacy of what was Seattle Japanese Methodist Episcopal Church and now is Blaine Memorial United Methodist Church. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Loving God, we come before you so thankful for this history that you have given to us here in this place. We are so thankful for the stories and the saints that make us who we are, for the ways that their inspiring commitment, the ways in which they gave their lives so that we might be here today. We are so grateful and thankful for this 115-year history and for the things that we would learn even today that remind us that we are honored to carry on a powerful and profound legacy. But we can know as well, oh God, from this, that what you are calling us to in the future, it may look very different than the ministry of the past, but we trust, oh God, that where you would call, we would be able to follow. And that while we might feel that the story is disconnected from that challenge and that change, we can know that it is because we continue to tell those stories and recognize that that very spirit of creativity and innovation, it is born in all of those stories. That we know, oh God, that we would carry that story into the future with great power and hope. And so we pray, oh God, that you'd be with us in this. Guide us in all of this. Help us, oh God, to carry that story into the future. Help us to give thanks for the history that makes us who we are, even while we would proclaim that we will not get stuck in the past, but we'll know that we have a work to do that would enable us to fulfill the promises that were made to this church through Jesus Christ 115 years ago. And know that that story continues on in and through us into the future. We pray these things, oh God, to you, thankful for this day and for this time and for the history that makes us who we are. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.